everyone. Welcome back to the Run Strong podcast with me, Gary House, leader of the Run Strong Club. And this episode is getting back into the swing of things with an interview with Toby Fells. Or on Instagram, it's transgender_trail_runner. Toby is one of my coaching clients or club members. He has been a long-standing member now, and from being naive and kind of full of maybe nerves and anxiety at the beginning, he's now building on his confidence as a runner, and he's taken on big challenges, and he's made lots of progress, if I am honest, even if he doesn't think so himself. His Instagram will tell you a bit of a story, but literally just the tip of the iceberg. He enjoys wild swimming, he's training to be a personal trainer, loves his trail running and ultra marathons more than anything. I know he loves his canine friends, his dogs, his border collies, who he looks after. He's just got so much going on. He's come a long way. He's got lots of stories to tell, from mental health to kind of raising money for dogs and just ticking off Wainwrights, or his love of photography, which is obvious from his Instagram. There is a small nod to his journey on his Instagram as his handle, which we'll touch on. But if you do scroll down the pictures or his newsfeed or whatever you call them these days, then you will see it is literally just kind of pictures of things that have inspired him, or just moments in his runs or his time while swimming or anything like that that he's felt like sharing. So I hope you enjoy our conversation. And if you've got any questions for Toby, or if you'd like to hear more from him, because being honest, as soon as we finished our conversation, we decided that we hadn't touched on anything that we originally planned on. Get in touch via my Instagram, or Toby is open to kind of chatting on Instagram too. Go and look for him. The links will be in the notes. And yeah, hope you enjoy our conversation together today. So welcome to Toby Fells. Thanks for coming on, Tobe.
Thank you.
Toby is a Run Strong Club member, has been for probably pushing 2 years now. I was thinking back to when it was. But my first question to Toby is, if you think about your Instagram profile, which most people are on these days, if your Instagram profile was a voice note for 60 seconds, how would you sum that up for me?
I'll just recite pretty much what's on there. I think it's just something like, I'm in the Lake District. I've got three collies. I'm currently training to be a PT and mountain leader as well. That's kind of going on. That's pretty much it. And I like running a lot. That's, yeah.
And you're ticking off Wainwrights, yeah?
Oh, yeah. That's taken a bit of a backseat. But yes, yeah.
Well, you don't all have to do it in like 2 weeks or whatever. Some people are trying.
I wanted to, and then I realised that doing the top half, doing the northern half, was quite easy, and then doing the bottom half was going to take too much driving. So I wasn't ready to do that as quickly as the top half.
Yeah. How many have you got through so far?
I think I've got 80 something. I think
out of. What is it, 216?
I think it's 214, yeah. 214. And I haven't bagged any for about a month. Maybe I've bagged one or two. It's ground to a bit of a halt, really. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the thing is, if you got it done too quick, then you'd be looking for the next thing, wouldn't you? So it's quite
well.
Nice.
I would in an ideal world, I would have liked to have bagged them all in sort of over the summer, and then I wanted to do it all again in the winter. And yeah, but anyway, it is what it is.
And I think, I was thinking before the call, I was thinking, like, my first proper memory of coaching you was I had a missed call from you, and I knew you were doing a race, and it was like June 2019. I had to check the actual date. But I remember thinking, yeah, nobody ever rings me when they're doing a race. You were I've been coaching a while, and you hadn't even, I hadn't even been coaching you that long, but you'd rang me during the race. So I thought, like, good on Toby, I'll definitely call them back. Because I'll be honest, I wouldn't have called everyone back.
But I was freaking out at the time. I wouldn't worry about it now, but at the time, my hands had gone numb.
That's right.
And that was really, really worrying me. and it was really, really hot, and I was just having a bit of a melt, really. Yeah.
She thought, yeah. I won't call 999. I'll...
Yeah. Well, 999 are no good. I've never had any good experiences with them. So,
yeah. I have no idea what this means. I'll call Gary, who I've known all the 5 minutes.
Well, it's very British. Don't want to be calling any ambulance out unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah. So, and that race was what, 50 something miles?
I think, yeah, something like that. Yeah, 50. I think
it was that
50.
Was it the Calderdale Way?
Yeah.
But you, so yeah, I remember getting the call, well, calling you back, and essentially just, I think you just needed a bit of reassurance that it was going to be all right, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
once I'd heard that I didn't really need to worry about my hands, I sort of calmed down and just sort of got on with it.
I mean, there was a limit to what I could advise you about the hands, but the main points were do a whole body check, calm down a minute, tell me where you are, because I kind of knew the route, and then I kind of told you what was coming up, I think.
I didn't have much. It didn't quite go to plan, but then I'm learning that these things don't, do they?
No, but that was 50 plus miles, quite early on in your ultra running career, you'd say, wouldn't you?
Well, it was the first official one I'd done. Before that, I tried to do it on my own, and I got to mile 40.
That's right.
Yeah. And stopped. Yeah.
Since then, well, not since then, but like you've been, because you're in the Run Strong Club and you've been in for quite a long time, it's kind of, you forget how much or how well I get to know like some of the runners in there. And you're on the podcast mainly because it was sparked by Owen's question. He's another member, quite a newish member, but he asked why everyone had started running, was it, in the first place?
Yeah.
Which isn't a question I always ask people. Sometimes you get to it, but he asked it straight off the bat, kind of thing. But you, as a client coming in, you were really interesting because you challenged me straight away. In a good way, it was quite exciting because you didn't have the typical issues, shall we say, that I would always get. Which, like, quite honestly, it makes you question, right, okay, do I even know how to help Toby here? But I think it was quite...
I think most people ask that question.
Well, yeah, but because you're quite open, you made it easy for me, so I could ask you questions I need to ask this, and then I can help. I'd be confident with helping. So I just wanted to, like, firstly, before we go into why you started running, I was going to ask, have you always been quite open and honest with like, your background and things like this?
Kind of, yeah. I don't go around shouting about it for various reasons, probably quite unpopular opinions I've got.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I can either overshare or undershare.
Well, I definitely don't think you overshare because, one, there's no need to be honest. Because going back to your Instagram handle, because it's the transgender runner, isn't it? And it's changed.
Yeah, transgender trail runner.
Trail runner. But then for me, knowing you as a person, that quite surprises me. Having that, I would assume that it would just be Toby because that's where you are, kind of thing. So talk us through that bit, because for me, that's the only conflict I have. Not conflict, I'm just quite interested.
Yeah.
Interested.
Well, I'm quite conflicted about it as well, you know, actually. I am an art quite regularly about whether to change it. I ummed and ahed ages before I changed it to that. And the main reason I do it is visibility for sort of the wider trans visibility. So it's not particularly because that's sort of like a big part of my identity. It's not really, but it's more because it's something I can do to sort of help other trans people, is to just be visible.
Yeah.
And I just sort of think, well, you know, I'm not someone to be sort of shouting it from the rooftops. And if I've just got the name there, then all it means really is, you know, people that interact with me, you know, that it means they just have a very normal interaction with someone they know that's trans. And maybe when they go about their life somewhere else and they come into contact with another trans person, they won't be so freaked out, you know. So it's just sort of because of that. But I do regularly think to myself, oh, I don't really like having it as that, because it's such a small part of who I am, really.
Yeah, I mean, like, personally, I think that's just the nature of Instagram. You've had to choose something that's almost your little nod to it, because then you would, I assume, you might get the other side of that is, why aren't you mentioning it, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it is just sort of a bit like I feel like I want to be doing something, but I don't really want to be talking about it all the time. So that's just the little thing that I do.
Yeah. Because your Instagram, like, it's to look at it.
Yeah.
It's for people go and have a look after it. But Toby Fells, it's literally just every single post is like an inspiring shot photo that you've chosen from that run or walk or something from that day, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you looked at my Instagram, you'd probably think photographer, I assume. Yeah. And I oddly don't even have that in my bio. I should I should probably have something like photographer in it or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Because is that what is most of the attention through Instagram through the shots that you have on there? Because some of them are like amazing shots, but again, you don't say photographer or something like that, but that obviously is a skill and something you really enjoy.
Yeah, it's something I do a lot of, and I don't particularly like turning the camera in on myself. There's enough people doing that on Instagram.
Excuse me.
Well, that's all right.
I'll
let you off. But yeah, so I just like to just take photos because that's what I'm looking at, and I just want to share that, really. There's nothing really particularly deep about it. It's something I've been doing for a long time. I did a degree in photography at one point. It's just what I like doing, and I like sharing them. If I didn't share them on Instagram, they'd never see the light of day. So,
yeah, I think it makes quite a change that it is. I mean, you're so consistent with it. I tried to scroll through trying to find one, but yeah, you have to go. It's just it's quite consistent. Yeah, you haven't been tempted to kind of do anything different. It's really good to see. And it breaks up the normal, like you say, like crouching selfie shot, just finish the run kind of thing.
Yeah. There's enough people posting photos of themselves and their trainers and their flat lays,
even in the photography world and things like that, you're not, like, from your pictures, all I get is you're not trying to impress with your photography skills necessarily. You're not trying to impress with a filter or anything like that. It's just a shot that you've liked, basically, in like a snapshot of the day.
Yeah. I like to think that I take photos that are slightly different to what other people take photos of, that are more about sort of, I only take them on my phone. I don't have a fancy camera or anything. Mm. So there's, you know, I like to think that I'm trying to take photos that have a bit of feeling and a bit of atmosphere about them, rather than just like, oh, here's an amazing, perfect shot of the lakes, which there's also loads of those about as well. So, yeah. Yeah.
So running wise, when you're, because training right now, again, like, you've done some races. For me, again, coaching you, races aren't your main kind of, that's not what drives you at all. So what drives you with your running and your training and wanting to become a better runner almost?
I there's nothing I like more than being out running out in the hills and the mountains. It's really just all I want to do. Obviously I want to get faster and I want to get better, and you know, but I am competitive. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't. But I'm more, what appeals to me more is sort of an aspect of running for a really long time and sort of surviving and being self-sufficient, rather than being in a race where you've got sort of checkpoints and, you know, markers where you go and all of that kind of stuff. That's what appeals to me it the most, really, and sort of get as far as I can as quickly as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because some of the challenges you've done, like recently, most recent was the Three Peaks route, yeah, isn't it? Like the race route, essentially.
Yeah.
So give us a brief kind of, give us an overview of that, and tell us about the day and how it went and stuff like that, just to give people an idea where you're at with your running.
Well, you know what, actually, it was the third time I've done it, and it was quite a different experience this time, because I'm quite a bit fitter than I was the last two times I did it. I think what I've realised is I've spent quite a lot of time hiding behind stuff that's not very runnable, and the Yorkshire Three Peaks, I quite like it because it is very runnable, and it gives me a really good, I like to do it every year, and it sort of gives me a good idea of sort of how I'm progressing.
It keeps you honest, doesn't it, that route, I think?
Yeah. And it was really nice to sort of, yeah, run something that was really runnable, and to sort of see, yeah, that I'm a lot stronger than I was, you know, last year when I was doing it. And it did make me think. I think I quite like it because it's a little bit like, I feel a little bit like it's got a bit of a vibe of like a little mini round almost.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's another reason why I like it as well. But yeah, it was fantastic. Started off really early in the morning. It was freezing cold. I love running in the cold. I hate hot weather, as you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was fantastic, and it was all going really, really, really well, until I sort of hit a diversion, which was fucking awful. It was just sort of grassy, muddy, and it was not very runnable at all. And I realised about halfway up that I wasn't going to get a PB, and I just threw my toys out of the pram and I gave up. And I'm a bit annoyed at myself because I could have at least kept going and got like a P, because I wanted to do it in sub five yeah, hours. I wasn't going to do that.
You would, but you probably would have still got the PB, right?
Yeah, I would have come in at, yeah, like probably 5:10 or, you know, something like that. And I did it last year, 5 hours, 18 minutes or something. So it wouldn't have been my much, but at least I would have got a PB.
Yeah.
But I just robbed myself of a PB just because I was like, oh, I'm not going to get it in sub five now. What's the fucking point? And then I just trotted down from Ingleborough in a bit of a bad mood. So that's playing on my mind. I'd quite like to do it again, really.
Because it's interesting, because remember, like, afterwards you gave me the updates, which I always ask people to give me updates and stuff, and
yeah,
and you're good in the fact that I do get the updates.
Yeah.
But it's quite good to, like, sometimes almost, like, call you out a bit and give you the mirror, because on my end, it was a positive, it was a good run, and it was quite easy to see, actually, that, yeah, in that moment, it was like you put it, you threw your toys out the pram a bit.
Yeah.
But for my side of things, I wouldn't want that to happen again, whether it was in a race or something like that, because that was something that was taken out of your control. It was a diversion. Mm. And do you think that's part of the learning, or do you know that now that you can, or would you tackle it different in the future?
I think I do have to learn to be honest, I think had it have been longer, because that's quite, you know, I was obviously trying to run that quite fast, so it feels more rushed. I think if I'd have been in something longer,
yeah,
maybe I probably would have been all right with sort of, okay, take 5 or 10 minutes, gather yourself. But because it was all so much faster, and, you know, I think I could do it. I could have taken a couple of minutes. Do you know what I mean? I could have just stopped for a couple of minutes and just gone, like, you know, think this through. I could have done that.
It's difficult, though, isn't it? It's kind of, because essentially, like, you are then in a race situation. It's the same as if you'd have took a wrong turn in a race or something. It's no different. There wouldn't have been anyone around you, because although you are racing people around you, you're essentially racing that clock. And there's nothing more frustrating than knowing you're going to finish this run.
Yeah, and I'm not
what I knew I could do.
I'm not a great loser either. So, you know, and I get quite stuck on, you know, an idea. And if I can't do that and I sort of feel that I'm losing, like, yeah, I'm not particularly great at dealing with that. And then I just sort of flip. I go, well, I don't fucking want any of it then. Yeah. 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 Which is unnecessary. Yeah.
So that's the latest challenge you've done. I want to touch on that one because it's quite interesting, because I'm always learning, but I'm always kind of interested in how people are thinking at the time and things like that. So one, so I can help, like you say, because if it's just little things like that, like a little mindset kind of change, you can talk that through. And like I said, just write down, what did I give you, 20 positive things from that day.
That really helps, yeah.
Because it was a couple of days later, and when I get the messages, it was quite, you were quite negative about it overall.
Yeah.
Whereas you could quite easily change that around to quite a positive.
Well, I listened back to the messages, and I did sound like I was going to top myself. I probably should have given it a couple of days before I gave you an update.
No,
maybe.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm listening to it thinking it's been a few days now, and Toby's probably sat there still kicking himself, still annoyed, still pissed off, still disappointed. Whereas in reality, it's like, it was a really good run.
It was a good morning out, and there was a lot that was really good about it, and it gave me a lot to think about. And definitely, I think I surprised myself, like I was saying before. I think I hide a lot behind stuff that's not very runnable, and I think it was the first time I've done something that's quite runnable where I've actually felt, I can do this, you know.
And it exposes you, doesn't it? If you're comfortable in the wet and the wild and the cold and the kind of mountains and the technical kind of bits like that, because essentially, like, put it bluntly, there's no expectation to run quick kind of thing.
Yeah.
When it's runnable and someone's unfit and feeling like, oh God, this is tough, it exposes you a different way. So it's good that you feel confident after that, I think.
So I'm excited to give it another go. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, so would you go back and go back after the diversion? Is that the plan?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, if the goat gets cancelled, which, you know, is totally within the realms of possibility, I think that's probably what I'll do. I'll go and give that another bash.
Yeah. So rewind again, that was your latest challenge. I'm going to repeat Owen's question. You can answer it however you want, but what kind of kicked off the running for you? Because you started running again. I ran a bit when I was younger, but the first thing that jumped out to me, I think you said you were like 19 or something. That's the same age as I started running. So what kicked you off in your running?
I started running when I was 19 because I just thought people that ran were quite cool. I wanted to be cool, so I started running. and I liked it. It wasn't anything major, you know, we're just talking like an hour a few times a week. I was at uni at the time, I think, really, when I started. And I sort of wanted running to sort of be my thing. But then I went psychotic, when I was 19. It didn't just sort of happen overnight. It was sort of a process that kind of, I started not being all right probably when I was about 14, 15. And I just kind of got progressively not more, more and more and more not okay with various different problems. And then at 19, just everything just went to shit, and I was hearing voices and hallucinating, and I really wasn't all right. And I went home, because I was at uni in Gloucester at the time. I went home and I said to my mum, I'm really not all right. I need some help. I think she booked an appointment at the doctor for me or something, the GP, I think. And there was a little period of time where...
Pardon? Was that just the GP kind of thing?
Yeah, it was just the GP. And there was a little period of time where I was just sort of at home, not okay. And my mum at the time, I think she was a PT at the time. And I think it was either her or I can't really remember my, you know, I wasn't really all right, but there was a sort of an entry into the Great North Run, and that was kind of going to be something that we were going to do to sort of try and help me get sort of better.
Yeah.
But then the GP referred me to a psychiatrist, and then the psychiatrist was like, oh, it was the weirdest thing. It said, oh, you should come into hospital for a couple of days, just, you know, for a little break.
Mm.
And I didn't really have a choice in the matter, because I was like, well, what if I don't? And they're like, well, we'll make you. and I thought, I'm only going to be there a couple of days. And I wasn't. I ended up being in there for three months I was in hospital for. And I was just fucking nuts for the next... For the next 5 years, I was just going in and out of hospital. I was put on really heavy, hardcore drugs. I was sort of getting more and more in my own world, making less and less sense to people. I think, you know, I was getting picked up by police a lot because I would sort of go out in public screaming and shouting. I was trying to help people because I believe that the government were planting chips in people's heads, and I'm thinking, I need to save everyone, I need to save the world, I've got this information.
Yeah.
Obviously, people are scared, you know, that's scary when someone, I wasn't going to hurt anyone, but, and then, you know, police would get called and I'd get sectioned and like loads of really sort of horrible, horrible experiences where I was sort of pinned down and thrown in the back of police cars and, you know, come out sort of black and blue and just terrible.
You always seem quite self-aware, and when I speak to you and when you're with the group, you're always quite you're really self-aware compared to a lot of people I know. Were you still able to be like that at the time? Because
No. At the time, not at all. Psychosis is really weird because. The best way to describe it is, you know, like when you're dreaming and you kind of know it's a dream, but also it's really, really real.
Yeah.
So there's sort of this sense that this is weird, but it seems legit,
yeah. Okay.
You know, and there's like this sense and all the rules, none of the sort of the usual rules apply, and every like perception and everything just gets really sort of messed up. And there's just, I just didn't really have any ability to, you know, there'd be times when I'd be less mental, but there was a lot of times when I just didn't, I just thought I was, the government were after me most of the time. That was the general, general theme.
You're just a few years behind then.
Yeah, basically.
Sorry.
well, exactly. Most of it, but you know, it's not all, you know, the thing with psychosis is it is sort of based in some kind of reality. It just gets blown up.
What was the kind of, like now to speak to you, I personally, I think you're quite strong and confident, self-aware, things like this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the tide has turned massively.
Yeah.
Do you know, kind of like, I always think that people won't be, that there's a high percentage of people won't be that lucky. So what kind of helped you get out and kind of become who you are now?
So I basically got up to Yorkshire. So I was down south, and I sort of pretty much legged it up to Yorkshire, really. And I started hiking. I lodged with a family. They had a collie, and I was going out taking the dog out for a walk, and that was helping. And I was coming off all the meds that I was on, which took quite a while. I was on some pretty serious medications that made me really overweight.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things really that I've never been quite the same since, really, that I think long-term effects.
And was that you proactively thinking, I need to get away from that
kind of? Well, so in the beginning it was more a case of I had voices telling me to get off the medication. And so that was why I was trying to get off the meds. But what would happen is I would stop them all at once. And then that's not a good way to do it. And then I'd just go nuts, and then I'd end up in hospital again. So I took quite a long time to come off them all. And I was hiking in Yorkshire on the moors, and I got a camera. I sort of started learning how to take photos, and eventually got my own dog, Maya. And that's kind of, I hung around with a lot of other crazy people that were also a bit weird and wacky, so I could just be a bit weird and wacky, and no one really batted an eyelid, so that sort of helped. And I just kind of, I was doing lots of things that were very helpful, and then I was also doing, at the same time, I was doing lots of things that weren't, drinking, drugs, and then, so it was just sort of a process where sort of I was doing more of the good stuff and sort of less of the bad stuff as sort of time went on.
Did you start to see kind of the value of, like, when you're feeling good outside and, or you're out with a dog or dogs and things like that, and kind of the other stuff starts affecting it and you don't want it to?
Yeah, like I think it's age, really. I think you start get to a certain age where you just can't do both anymore. You've got to choose one or the other. And I was enjoying being active and outside, and it sort of started with quitting smoking, really. I started to notice that I couldn't really smoke that without sort of it just not being very helpful. I think I was did a little bit of boxing at the time as well, and I just noticed that I just wasn't managing to you know, my aerobic capacity was just a bit shit, really.
And fitness or exercise or whatever it was you were doing, whether it was walking or boxing or things like this, because I know that you've done a bit, you do a bit of swimming and things like that now. Does that kind of, the first couple of times you were able to do that when you weren't feeling very well, did that kind of spark something off, or did it change the state of your mood and things like that? Was that how it worked?
Yeah, I think I don't know whether it's the same for everyone, but I think I've got a pretty high capacity for exercise. I think naturally I need to be moving quite a lot. And I'm just happier when I'm moving quite a lot. I'm not really someone that can do nothing and be all right. I think my mind is pretty active. I've got a pretty big imagination, and if I'm not occupied physically, there's something about, I can walk around in my head a lot. And I don't think I'm different. I think lots of people do that. And there's something about exercise that brings you out of your head and sort of into your body. And that's helpful.
Well, I always think when people ask me, like, if they've found out I've gone for a long run or I've done one of these 24-hour races or something like that, and someone outside of running or something, or a friend will go, what are you thinking about?
And then,
like, to me, I'm like, well, I'm not, that's probably the only time I'm not thinking about anything. And then I start thinking, well, maybe that's not what everyone else is like, kind of thing. Because I can go for a run for a couple of hours in the forest by me, and I'm honestly not really thinking about anything, whether I've got some music on or a podcast or book or whatever, or there's nothing on. But I'm not specifically, I'm not like running through the Manchester United team from 1978 over and over again. And I always struggled with things like meditation and things, even though I could see the value in it. But then I thought, actually, like, if I'm running, me personally, that is basically my meditation, or that's just a way of, I know a lot of people will say, well, everyone that's an ultra runner is running away from something, but it's not. It's just nice to not have to think about everything constantly.
I did try and get into meditation sort of through that period of time when I was sort of trying to sort my shit out. And I tried to be a raging hippie, and they just don't do enough movement for me.
Well, for most people, if I say to you, if someone says to you, right, Toby, like, sit there in silence and just empty your thoughts, it's like, you're mad.
That
just doesn't happen. That's why, with some people, I've started doing this kind of different kind of meditation where you have to focus on something. Because if I focus on something, to do, like, if it's counting or whatever, then okay. But if you just say empty your thoughts, I mean, I don't.
Well,
know.
it's like when you say to someone, "Don't think of a pink elephant.
Yeah,
exactly. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Just sit there and empty your thoughts for 10 minutes. Like,
yeah,
I've never had so many thoughts.
Yeah, I end up coming out of things like that just feeling more stressed than when I went in. But I've had people say to me, I go on runs to sort of think about things and. You know, and I think that's exactly what I'm not doing when I'm running. I'm the most I think about is, oh, look at that, isn't that a beautiful view?
Yeah,
I'll take a photo. And that's this is a brilliant song that's come on in my headphones, and other than that, that's about it. Yeah.
So when did the running so you've started hiking and things like that, and you're starting to, I'd say, like the tide is changing almost.
Yeah.
Was running a part of it from the start, or was it just...
No, so I didn't really start running again until I think I was about 30. I was in Cornwall. I was doing my photography degree, and I was going out doing multi-day hikes with Maya. And then I did this project that involved, basically I needed to be in France in the mountains, and I ended up climbing up this mountain. I wasn't planning on climbing up this mountain. I was planning on going out for sort of a couple of hours around the block. And I just climbed up this pretty hardcore mountain in sort of my Vans and my jeans. And I had a croissant and one sort of 500ml bottle of water. And I was really out of shape as well. Like, you know, that now that doesn't seem too crazy to me. Mm. Like, I thought, oh, you know, I probably manage that.
Yeah.
But I was really out of shape. And I was probably a good 4 stone heavier than I am now, I'd say. And I sort of got up to the bit where most people sort of stop and turn around. It's like a refuge hut, and the path sort of stopped and all the green stops. And
yeah.
And then it all goes on to sort of like the proper mountain bit.
A glass.
And I could see the top, and I was like, well, I can't turn around now. And so I thought, oh, I'll just have a look, just see sort of what's up there. And that just basically kept happening for the next God knows how long. I'll just keep seeing what's up. And it was just this sort of rocky terrain. There was all the green, all the flowers, all the cows, they'd all gone, and it was just sort of, and there was sort of sheer rock faces up one side, and I, you know, ice and snow. And I just remember thinking, Jesus Christ, like, this mountain is like not here like to make my life easy.
were you trying to get to the top, or were you just...
Yeah, I was, because I was like, I can't, because every hour I got closer and closer. I was like, well, I can't now.
Yeah.
But I think it was October at the time, and I was running out of time, and I was like, oh, you know, I've got to get there by a certain time, because it's going to take me this long to get back down. I've got to get back before dark. Anyway, I finally got to the top, okay, and I came back down, which was even harder. I kind of thought that down would be easier. Wasn't my knees were caning. I was almost in tears by the time I'd got near the bottom. I was in pieces. I was almost on all fours by the time I got down to the bottom. But there was just something about, like, I'd pushed myself to the absolute limit, like, you know, at that point. And
yeah,
my body just wasn't working anymore. And I carried on going because I didn't really have any choice. And I think you hold a lot of stress and tension in your body, and I sort of felt like I'd pushed it so far that it couldn't hold on to the stress and the tension anymore.
Yeah,
and all
okay.
of a sudden, like, it was there, and I was like almost in tears. I was like, you know, and I almost felt like I was sort of, like, it sounds mushy, but feeling stuff for the first time, you know.
Yeah.
And then that was that, and for the next few days I've hobbled around barely able to move. And that set off a massive chain of events. And I got rid of my car. I got a bike. And then my world became really small.
Mm.
Dog. And I couldn't get to the places that I was normally getting to. So normally I'd drive like 10 minutes up the road, you know, and I couldn't get to those places really all that quickly. I'd got an electric bike because I was too unfit for a push bike.
Is this still in France?
No. So we're back in Cornwall now. Yeah. And I thought I could get to these places that I used to go to. If I ran there, I can get there quicker. So
yeah.
I just sort of, what started happening was I was going out on these walks, and I was just started sort of running downhill bits. I didn't know what trail running was or anything, yeah, yeah. You know, like I was just trying to get somewhere quicker.
Get somewhere quicker, yeah.
Yeah. And then I did do a catch to 5K, but I remember having to do that on the treadmill because I started trying to do it on the road for some reason, and I was too fat and and it was hurting my knees. So I thought, oh, I'll do it on the treadmill then. So I did a catch to 5K on the treadmill, and I just felt it was a really big deal starting to run again because I'd avoided it for so long because I was so angry. I felt like, you know, the mental health system had just taken running and so many things away from me. It's pumped me full of meds.
Yeah,
I couldn't run. I could barely walk. I could barely stay awake for years and years. And then, you know, it was like, you know, 1 minute I was going to train for a Great North Run, and the next minute I'm just this dribbling, shuffling, overweight, mental case. And then all of a sudden I could run again. And sort of, I think that's definitely a massive thing. Like when I'm running and something gets hard and I want to stop, that's the thing that makes me keep going.
Yeah.
I think the psychiatrists that thought I was just going to be in and out of hospital for the rest of my life. I think of all the times I was sort of unable to get out of the hospital. I think of all the times I was so sedated I could barely move. And then I'm like, no, you know, I do this because I fucking can. And it's a bit of the psychiatrists don't know what I'm doing. They don't give a shit, but you know, I do.
Yeah, but some of it is a bit of a like up yours to that kind of thing.
Definitely, yeah.
Kind of thing. But a lot of it also is just you're still exploring how much you can push yourself and having something like those experiences in the back of your head, that must be pretty powerful, I think, because like if it's raining outside then you can't be asked going for this run or whatever.
Oh, it never happens when it's raining. It does when it's 30 degrees outside.
Well, yeah. people kind of, when you've had it, people have been in extreme environments and things like this, then you find the other stuff a little bit easier, I think, yeah?
Yeah.
So, like, you kind of, you've been under times of extreme stress and kind of your emotions of things have been kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
So when you can relate it to just, I'm just going for a run today, that must put you in a position of power sometimes as well.
Yeah, I think that the another brilliant thing that I love about running is it kind of gives me a framework to hang everything off.
Mm.
So like it makes sure that I do all the basic stuff, you know, it makes sure I eat, it makes sure that I make sure I sleep, I can just hang all of the sort of the basic things about looking after myself off of the running.
Yeah.
Because without that, why do I need to go to bed at a decent time, really? Why,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
You know, so that's sort of another big thing as well. It gives a good structure, really.
That's why I can see sometimes you're quite similar. Well, you're similar to a lot of people, but me included. Like if there's an injury coming or you've got injured, it's almost, it's the frustration. Yes, you're frustrated at the injury and the fact that you might not be able to run as well as you can do, but it's more like, oh shit, my routine's going to go out the fucking window.
Yeah.
And it's almost the panic of not having that routine.
Yeah. It's like, what's going to stop me now from eating donuts all day?
Yeah.
I think from that point of view, like it's really great. Yeah. Yeah.
So when is the Great North Run going to happen?
Never. I don't know why I wanted to do it in the first place, to be honest with you.
You've not got an inkling to go, right, I'm going to go and do the Great North Run.
Not at all. Like, honestly, that kind of thing is my worst nightmare. But I think at the time I didn't know trail running was a thing. No. So I just sort of, you know, so that's why
it
I
wasn't.
Entered
it
that.
Was almost like runner's grubby little secret back then.
You'd have to,
I remember, like, I've said this before to people, you kind of, to go and do a trail ultra, you'd have to be hanging out in weird forums on the internet with a load of old men to try and find out where they were.
Yeah, I wish I was involved. I wish I was involved back then.
Yeah. It wasn't like it is now, but I can't picture you kind of running down out of Newcastle.
Honestly, like my worst nightmare. I would the last thing I want to do. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Where do you want to, if I, in 12 months time, say, yeah, you could wave a magic wand, what would be the challenge or the race that you would want to complete, kind of thing?
I had this really, really mental idea, and I really don't know how, if it's even possible.
And forget about training and like how fit you have to be. What is your is the
idea? I'd want to do something like run the length of the E1, which is like a European long distance path. It goes from like the right from the north to Norway all the way down to the south of Italy. It would take fucking ages and probably not possible. But if I was Superman,
you'd need more than a croissant and your van.
Yeah. I'd do that, yeah. Just because the idea of doing that, and that sort of gets me going, really. But more sensibly,
don't put that in a fan request, or I'll be ignoring.
Yeah, just to let you know, that's what you've got coming. More sensibly, I don't know. I mean, I think I'd really like to do a Bob Graham round, and I'd like to do a Bob Graham round in a good time as well. I'd like to be a good runner. I'd like to be doing good times and stuff, you know. I think Bob Graham, I'd quite like to do Land's End to John O'Groats, but not on the road, on trails. I'd like to do that. I'd love to do the UTMB. I'd like to do that one day, but I don't know, the crowds put me off that a little bit.
I was gonna say, would you rather do that, because it's well, I said easy isn't the word, but it's logistically you can go and do it on your own, kind of thing.
Use
the refuges, take two days to do it or something like that.
I think it's so busy, not to mention it's really expensive. At this point I can't afford to do stuff like that, really. But yeah, I think really the things that appeal to me are Bob Graham rounds, really. That's kind of the thing that appeals to me most. And the spine, that appeals to me, but again, that's another thing that costs a shitload of money that I won't be doing anytime soon. But self-supported and stuff, yeah, you know, just, yeah, I like self-supported, that the idea of going out for a long time and looking after myself with no one else, that appeals to me,
And outside of, like, I can't get on this call and not speak about the dogs.
Because
you've got a love of collies as well, same as me. But,
yeah,
give us you've got three collies, right?
Yeah, I've got three collies. Maya's the first collie I ever got. She's now got three legs. She's the best one, but we don't tell the boys that.
She stood on glass or something.
We were playing fetch in the woods, and she landed on some broken glass, and it basically just cut through everything apart from the bone. And she was my running partner. It was really shit. Sort of overnight, I was having to carry her outside to go to the toilet. We tried to save the leg, but it didn't work. We ended up amputating it, and now she's got elbow dysplasia because she's so young. So she just carried on as normal, like she's got four legs, but that's obviously not been good for her leg. I've just done a fundraiser, managed to raise some funds for a fancy set of wheels for her, front wheels, so that she can run about again and come out on walks with us.
I just saw that researching today, but has that fundraiser finished? Did you meet what you needed?
Finished, yeah. The money, the target was hit in like 2 days. Yeah, so that was really great. That was really nice.
It's dogs, that's why. If you'd needed a kidney or something, you'd be struggling.
Apparently everyone loves a three-legged dog. So that's her, and then I've got two boys. They're ex-working dogs. Well, one of them didn't do much work. He was just really shit. He's 3 years old and he was terrible at it. He just wasn't born to do it, and so he ended up with me. And the other one worked for his whole life, so he's a bit broken and old. That's my dogs, and I spend a lot of time walking with them.
And you walk, that's basically you're walking other dogs as well too, right?
Yeah, well, I was doing that before lockdown, and then before I moved, lockdown. And that was kind of what I was hoping to do here. But obviously, lockdown's kind of fucked with that a little bit. But that's what I spend most of my time doing. Yeah.
And so dogs wise, because I know with me, Fergie slowed down a lot,
Yeah.
kind of thing. What do you think? What is it that keeps, how can I word this? What's different when you're running with the dogs compared to when you're running on your own? And I'm not looking for anything big, profound or anything, but I always think it's like dogs can make such a difference to people's lives in general. Even more so when you're running.
Well, I tend to run anything hard on my own because Blue's sort of too old to do anything hard, and that's fine because I don't, when I'm doing like a proper session, the last thing I want to be thinking about is what my dog is doing.
Yeah, me too.
But if like Jet's fun to go out running with because he's young, like he'll pull me along, so you know I can feel really fast with him, and that's quite good fun. He has a great time. And Blue comes out on recovery runs and stuff because I can't go fast, because he just sort of plods along.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, so that's quite handy. And he won't really go much longer than an hour, so I can't get carried away either. But yeah, I think I like running with them and I like running without them. It just depends on the kind of run I'm doing, really. I couldn't be without them. Certainly when I first started running, I was running with Maya before she ended up, you know, three-legged. And she came on all the runs with me. Yeah.
She'd be able to be on a road runner with you though, will she, when she's got the wheels?
Well, yeah, I was thinking to myself, if she's got wheels, like maybe she'll be able to. Well, they're off-road wheels, so I'm thinking maybe I might be able to go out on some runs with her again. Who knows? Yeah, we'll see.
Right, Toby. Thanks for that.
That's.
Thanks for sharing the story. If there's anything that you wanted to say to people now, because I, like I said, for me personally, I see you as like strong, self-aware, pretty confident. You might not see yourself like that as much. But what would if have you got any advice that you would give people that are like almost like doubting themselves and things like this a lot? Which because that's I think. Especially now, that's what I see the most of, people doubting themselves and not
Yeah,
being
I see
confident.
people being scared of failing quite a lot. I don't really relate to being scared of failing, like I failed a lot. It's really not that bad. And it's I think you always end up learning something. I think that's the main thing. I think, yeah, the thing that I'm really good at doing is failing and then picking myself up and dusting myself off. And, you know, I'm not really frightened of doing something because I might fail. It's really not the end of the world. I just go and do it. I know it's easier said than done, and there's lots of reasons, you know, why people find it more difficult. But yeah, I think that's a big thing. I think I wouldn't do half the stuff I do if I was scared of failing. I just wouldn't do it.
No, and the thing
Yeah.
is, it's like, what is failure really? If like, if you go out for a run and you don't run it as quick, that's not failing, is it? That's it's almost like let's determine what failing is. Like if you're it doesn't matter what standard or why you're running. That's why similar to you, it's like if people say, oh, I'm scared of failing, it's like, well, you can't really fail.
Well, what's the worst
You're
that's
not
going to
take
happen? I mean, you know,
things
things
out,
like
it's not a job
death
interview.
aside, nothing really that bad is going to happen. Like the worst really is probably a bit of a bruised ego, but you can deal with that. You know, I think for me, it's the fear of failure that makes me want to do something in the first place. If I didn't think I was going to fail at something, I wouldn't probably be that motivated to do it in the first place.
I'm sure when you went up that mountain, you didn't think it would be easy with your
No, the whole
crossbow.
time I genuinely thought, shit, like I might die up here. And no one knows I'm here. I can't call anyone.
Shame you haven't got it on
No,
Strava.
I didn't even know what Strava was at that point. But I think I wouldn't recommend doing that, by the way. I'm fully aware that was really fucking stupid of what I did. I don't recommend
Do you
to
know
anyone.
which mountain it was? Do you reckon you can go back one day and have a proper crack?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I would love to. I do know. I don't know what it's called, but I do know the mountain. Yeah. I'll definitely.
Oh,
you'll definitely
have to go back one day and just experience going
up. I'd probably do it pretty quickly now, I think. I imagine. Probably not that big at all, really. Little hill.
Right. Thanks, mate. Thanks so much sharing with me. And I will catch up with you soon. Oh, before I go, I know you don't do it for kind of promotion or anything, but I would implore everyone to go and check out Toby's Instagram. Is that the easiest way to find your photos and stuff?
Toby
Fells. And you're quite open to chatting and things like that, I know. Get involved. And I'm sure Toby will help you all out on a Bob Graham leg or two as well.
Don't expect me to be too sociable though. I'm not like
self-supported from 50 years. Yeah. Cheers, mate. Thanks for that.
All right, cheers.
There we have it, the interview with Toby. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed chatting to him. Toby is still doing really well with his training. And like I said, we went down many tangents during the chat, so we didn't cover everything that we wanted to. And if you want to hear more from Toby, I'm sure he will oblige by coming back on. And I'd love to speak to him. Just send us some messages and we'll get that sorted. In the meantime, it would be great if you shared this podcast in your stories on Instagram or wherever you share them. And yeah, rate it, review it. Give me some feedback, and the podcast will be back in just a few days, actually. We're on a roll now, and I hope you're all having a good week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Speak to you all soon.